Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pevere, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing. What are we talking about today, Marielle?
We are going to talk about the Kanban board, or my version of it. So basically, we're going to elaborate more on what we brought up during our last episode. So I'm sitting here in front of the Kanban board, and the idea is to just run through it. So
you say Kanban.
Apparently, it's Kanban. I read that somewhere. I didn't verify it. But a few, when I was doing the research, a few of the articles said it's actually not Kanban, it's Kanban.
Okay, but it's spelled Kanban.
Yeah, but I didn't verify it. So I'm just saying Kanban, it might actually be Kanban. I don't know.
And where's it from?
So Kanban is, it's not from Toyota, but it has been inspired by the production schedule that was invented by Toyota in Japan.
Okay.
So how they streamlined their process, somebody took that as inspiration and then created the Kanban production schedule.
So how did you come across it?
Actually, I was in a call with like tons of writers on Zoom. And one of them just had like this thing on in the background, like on a, like it looked like a blackboard with like all kinds of like different parts. So somebody said, "Is that your Kanban board?" And she was like, "Yes." And then we didn't talk about it anymore. But a few weeks later, I was sort of diving into like, I need a better system. So I just started Googling Kanban for writers.
And it is an established system then for use with writing?
No, not necessarily. It's mostly used, I would say, in companies because it's very easy to keep track of who was doing what. But writers have started to adapt it to writing needs.
So it's all
people who take the original, and then so I read a few posts by people who've started incorporating into their writing and publishing practice, and they've just looked at the original version. So I took the basics and saw what they had, and then sat with it for a few weeks and started like drawing. Okay, what do I need to make it useful for my very particular? Because if you you're going to upload the PDF again, I'm guessing. That we have so if people listening to this, if they open that, they can see this is my board. So it's very catered to my specific needs.
So when you looked at other writers using it, were they using it to keep track of their characters in kind of a fictional way or a track of their business?
Both, actually not the first one. Okay. It's mostly, so what I saw most people do. So let me, if you look at the PDF, the actual part that is the Kanban board is the middle part that says to do soon, break down, doing, and then that has working, waiting, reviewing, and then done. That's like the Kanban part of the board.
Okay.
So what the writers that I've read, the writers who wrote the articles that I've read, what they're doing is, okay, so I have, some of them are working on one book, some of them are working on multiple books, so this is how they keep track. So they would, for example, some of them would say, like, write chapter one, write chapter two, write chapter three, write chapter four. Some of them would be less specific and go, write first draft, you know, send to alpha readers, write second draft, So okay. It's basically, so it very much depends on your own needs. But it's basically you break down the different steps for you so you can keep track. So I actually added the to-do soon. That's my own addition, because so that is where I put everything for this month, for the upcoming month. So the breakdown is a very normal part for the Kanban board, because this is where you put all the different parts. And like I said, it very much depends on your own needs and what your goals are. So for some people, goals could be like, I need to write 2,000 words this day. So they will have all kinds of post-its that say 2,000 words, 2,000 words, 2,000 words. Okay. And then once they break it down, when they're working on it, they put it under doing, under the section that says working. And there is a kind of a rule to that, that they say, try to limit the amount of stuff you have on there. So, for example, try to limit it to 3 things, and you're not allowed to move on, to put anything else from your breakdown into your working bit until you've finished some bit and push them to the waiting bit, which is where, for example, you send off a chapter to have beta read. Okay. So also to make sure that you're not get overwhelmed and you keep focused on what you're doing.
Now I see why you chose this particular method.
Well, I do wear a lot of hats, as you can see, yes, in this particular PDF. And I do tend to work on too many things at the same time. So usually you would have like basically like where it says MS Wordsmith, you would just have that, right?
Yeah.
Because for if you just use this for your writing business, you would have like one thing. But since I have a business, I also write nonfiction, I also write fiction, and I'm also the editor-in-chief of a journal, an academic journal. So I have different hats, and I wanted to have an overview of all those things.
Yeah.
To make sure that I'm not working on too many things at the same time.
Have you actually put into practice yet?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm looking at it now. And I haven't filled out all of the parts yet, but the Kanban board is in practice.
Yeah. And is it working?
Yes, I have started to, I actually realized that there was one part of it that I didn't put into the PDF. And yesterday I took it down because I was like, yeah, I'm not going to use that. Like I thought it was clever when I put it up there. I basically created space per month to sort of like leave notes on what topics to include in my newsletter.
Oh.
And I wasn't doing that at all.
Okay.
So I just claimed the space back.
You see, for me, it looks quite frightening. And I think you called it a monster.
I just did, yeah. But I call it a monster because I know you're frightened of it. I don't think it's a monster. But that's why I wanted to do like a run. That's why I wanted to do a rundown so people explain how to actually use it in practice. Because like I said, like there's the Kanban part, but what I saw one writer do, she actually made 2 Kanban boards. One of them was like her overall, this is what I want to do in the next 5 years. And that every time she, like her Kanban board for what she was working on now cleared, she would go to the other Kanban board and take bits of that and insert that into the more micromanaging Kanban board.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't want that. Like, I want to have one place where I see everything that I tend to lose track of. So I want my long-term goals. I want my planning for the year. So for me, it's most like, so you have like the top that says the long-term goals for the different jobs that I have. I have a section for dreams. And then the planning is for the year. So the idea is that from the long-term goals, I take something, I take it down a step and insert it somewhere. Like, am I going to do that in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter of this year? And then for me, the Kanban board is basically the next month. So when I'm planning for example, now I'm planning for December. So whatever I had under planning October, December, and it was specifically under December, I put into too soon and I start breaking it down. And then every day, every morning I wake up, or every sometimes before I go to bed, I see which of the parts I'm going to work on the next day.
So if I was to start using a Kanban board,
yes,
should I start smaller? Would you recommend that I start smaller?
Well, it depends. So for me, I know for some people it works, right? For some people it works to have like, okay, so this is my big planner for like, or my big plan for the next 10 years or so. And then this is my planner for the year. And this, I just need something that I can see what I'm working on. So most people that I know, so the people that I've read the articles from, but also people, writers that I know who use it in practice, they do either a monthly Kanban board or a 90-day Kanban board.
Oh.
And then after that period, they just erase everything and they start anew.
Okay.
So I decided for a monthly one, but embedded into something that is bigger, because I do need to plan ahead. Because sometimes, like for example, I am now waiting back on a client who wants me to edit her book. And it's a big project. It's an academic book. It's going to be published by Routledge. So I already know, okay, so if that goes ahead, that's my whole February gone.
Do you think?
So I need to know that now.
Do you think that you
ought to put it in there?
Ought to write a book about how to use a Kanban board?
Well, maybe in 5 years, but
not
right now. I'm still working it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that being a future.
Yeah.
Because I'd need a lot of guidance to be able to.
Well, like you said, this is like the crazy person's version of it, right? Because I really, there are so many things that I lose track of, and that is a problem for myself. Because it leads to worries that I shouldn't be having.
Yeah.
And it makes me sort of double check everything. And like we discussed last episode, like I have a tendency to put way too much on my plate.
Yeah.
And if I just focus on what's happening in the next month, then I'm going to say yes to things because I don't know what I have happening then. Or that's in a different planner. Or maybe it's on a post-it somewhere, but I stuck it somewhere that I actually am not seeing it right now. And then why also one of my long-term goals in there is because every time I say yes to something, I want to double check, does this fit where I want to be in 5 years?
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So this is, the bottom here, so this is why I split it. So I have like my own editing and my coaching company, and then I have my nonfiction writing, fiction writing, I have the journal. That's also because, for example, the Journal of Gender Studies, that is, so I oversee the final part. So as soon as I get the article, so I don't actually deal with any of the authors. But I make sure that all the articles get edited and that the formatting is right, and I'm the contact with the publisher and so on. So that doesn't always happen. And that is why it's very tricky for me, because I tend to forget when was that time again? Like when am I? And then like at that point, I'm working on it for like 2-3 weeks or pretty much full time when I'm needed. So this allows me to put all the deadlines for that like in my planning for the entire year. So now I can see if somebody says, can you edit my book then? I can see. I'm like, because I usually wouldn't remember. And then I spend every night working on the journal.
Yeah.
Because I need to fit it in somewhere. And this allows me to not lose track. Also with the fiction writing, you know, I don't prioritize that. Now I can actually put in a goal.
Yeah. I'm like, you're convincing me.
Yes. Now, so let me talk a little bit about the bottom part, which that is extremely personal, because that's another thing that I keep losing track of. So for example, recurring tasks, that is something that I forget, like write your newsletters. Oh, we're recording a podcast that actually takes time. For Patreon, I do prompts every week. I lose track of those. I'm looking at it now. What do I have? Okay. So yeah, I have a card spread for my tarot Patreon. I have a prompt for my my 52 weeks of writing Patreon. I do a blog post every 10 days. I need to check my Amazon ads 2 times a month. We're recording 2 times a month. I will have another podcast to record soon. So that's on there. I have to send newsletters. I have to send Patreon updates once a month. I have to do graphics for my Patreon groups on Facebook. So those are all the things that I usually only remember because I'm like, oh, it's almost the 1st of December. I have to fix this now. And now it's all on there. And I can also, so sometimes I move a recurring task to doing, to the working bit. And instead of moving it to done, I move it back to recurring tasks because I know it will repeat itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is something that I really needed because I completely, I do lose track there. Books ready to be published. I'm not sure if I'm gonna keep that one, but I am trying to create like a backlog and then sort of publish it throughout the year. So right now the thing on it is the 52 weeks of writing. The second volume of that is on there now because it is ready. It's launching.
I'm waiting for the print version. Yeah.
Well, if you one of my biggest helps and fans, like I think we met through the journal. She just messaged me before we started recording that she is sort of harassing Amazon that the paperback isn't out yet.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think to do that.
Yeah, yeah, because she's like, why don't you call them? It's like, oh, because I'm in Europe. I never think of calling Amazon. They already emailed me to say that it was a technical error on their end. And she's like, well, I'm in the US. Let's see if I can contact them. So I have yet to see her response. It's supposed to launch tomorrow and it's, there's some technical error. So it was just funny because that has never happened to me before. But of course, the most important publication of the year. That's when it happens.
Yes.
Yes. It's fine. I'm breathing.
These challenges, they're just challenges so that next time you'll expect it.
Well, the thing was, I was going to publish it the week before and I actually was ready with the manuscript 2 days sooner. So I was like, oh, there's no... So I uploaded it on... When was it? So I was going to upload it... It's always weird to talk about dates because I know we're not actually... I was going to publish it on the 23rd of November and I ended up doing it on the 21st because I was done with it. And so I was like, oh, I'm golden. But I'm not.
Sorted.
Yeah, I'm not. It's fine. It's going to be
fine.
And then
Zon puts a spanner in the works.
Yeah, but it is actually really, it's also really nice because now I have people emailing, your book is still not out there. I really want it.
Yeah.
And that's also very nice. So yeah. It is, that's good. So then I have, next to that, I have Backburner and New Ideas because I consistently have that. I'm always having new ideas and they tend to sort of like take up a lot of brain space and I just need the space to put them. And I also wanted to place for the Backburner ideas because I do lose track of things that I know I should be working on at some point. So that's why I put those there. And then the last bit is really for my business because that is jobs that are in the air. So for example, that book, the Routledge book is on there. Just because if somebody asks me, can you do this for me in February or March? I need to be able to look at that and see, do I have anything that might show up then? Because, you know, I do email people saying, hey, you emailed me about this project. I have another client requesting that time.
Yeah.
How is it going? And then for me, very important, I always lose track of, I don't lose track of the invoices I sent, but I do lose track of whether they actually paid me. So I have that and that's very specific for me.
Yeah. You see, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking that I could use this. Well, certainly for my writing business, but also for my day job. But I wouldn't want that plastered all over my walls, obviously.
Well, I created a big version, right? Because I have this space. Because some people, especially the Kanban board, right? They just have it in like in the back of their planner, and they just move post-its around.
That's what I was going to ask you. Could you do it in another way? so that
yes, absolutely.
Okay.
For me, the only thing is that I, even though I do need a paper planner, like to write down my appointments in and to see where all of these little post-its, because this is a post-it thing, right? Like this is just a wall of post-its. I have different colors for different projects.
Yeah.
So I can keep track of them. So for example, 52 weeks of writing, that whole thing. So all the steps in there, they're all blue. So I can see now I have one of them still to do, which is update. Like I also sell PDFs through my own website. And I have to update that. Or like the journal is already on there. Somebody already bought it. So somebody's actually working with it. But I tend to split it in four quarters so people can also buy like a part just to see if it works for them.
So do you have shares in post-it notes?
I probably should work on that. Like I should try and put this more on Instagram so some post-it company is going to ask me to become an influencer.
I think that sounds like a good business idea.
I was recently asked if I wanted to become an influencer for a company, and I was like, so what do you sell? Because I'm like, if you're not selling fountain pens or ink or post-its or journals, okay, or notebooks, like I don't know how I am your target, or how my audience is your target. Because I talk about writing and I talk about cats. that's basically it. Yeah, so you can absolutely do a smaller version of this. The reason I did it this big is because of the oversight thing.
Yeah.
And I just really like when I wake up, I'm sitting on my bed right now. I'm looking at it. So it's 1 meter outside of my bed. I wake up, I open the curtains, I look at it, and it just tells me, oh, right, this is what I need to do today. Perfect. So there's also no, I don't lose time thinking, what do I need to focus on today? What was I doing again? No, it's all there.
Yeah.
And this is why I love specifically. So if we zoom in on the actual Kanban board again, what is really helping me, and this is why I was really intrigued by the process, is the part under doing, because that is like split into three sections. So some people use it like split it up in two sections or more. It depends on your needs. Because when I work on something and I'm done, but it's not done. It's basically it's done because I send it to somebody else to get approved, yeah, or whatever.
Paused or something.
Yes. I forget about it.
Yeah.
So, for example, I'm like recently I've been working on a few translations for a museum in the Netherlands, and the person who was overseeing that had got coronavirus. So there were lots of gaps between me asking about something or me sending questions about the original text, and then. So, and then, you know, a week goes by and I completely forget that I was working on that translation because I haven't heard from these people, which I totally get because they're struggling right now. So I'm very flexible, but seeing it on there, I started using the Kanban at the end of that project. Now I was like, okay, email client about this. So I put it on waiting.
So you've got doing, and you've, yes, got a done, and what's your middle one then? What's it called?
Well, the doing itself is split up in three parts. So it's okay. Working, waiting, reviewing.
Reviewing.
And it's so this is the idea of the Kanban board. Pieces are only allowed to move to the right.
Okay. I see. Yeah.
So you finish what you can do at that point. If you need to wait for something, you put it in waiting. And once you get an answer, you put it in reviewing, you finish it, and then you put it under done.
Okay. That makes
sense. That was the tricky part for me, especially for business-related stuff and also like when you're co-writing something.
Yes.
Because you're like, you send it off. And then what happens? And now, especially in this year, it has become so important, especially with business-related stuff, that I keep track of have I sent this person this email yet? And did they ever reply? Because I know everybody's struggling. And that has never been a problem before, like the communication. But this year, communication with clients has been a problem because everybody is sort of like stretched thin and forgetting stuff. So that has really helped me because now I have a list. And also, it also helps me to not take on too much new work because there. For, I have now 6 different things in my waiting area when I look at the board.
So just take me through the practicalities of it. So you agree a new project or you answer an email or you get a request and then you go to your board, you make the changes.
Yes.
And then you respond. So you're always revisiting your board.
This thing is supposed to be in motion. So even the recurring job bit that I have, those things end up somewhere on the board. And I just, instead of moving them to done, I move them back there because I need to remember them for the next time.
Yeah.
So I put on there, this needs to happen every week. This needs to happen every, like twice a month. I might eventually start putting those things on post-its themselves so they only move to done. So I can actually double check if I had them done with a date on it. That's something I might be doing. But yeah, let's say you, so just to focus on the Kanban part itself, let's say you get something to do soon. Like do we do a writing? Okay, let's say, so you co-write,
yes.
Right? So you get the next draft back from Amy, and now you need to do another draft. So you put in on the to-do soon, second draft, this book, right?
Yes.
I would leave that posted there because that is the main job.
Yes.
So you leave it there and then you break it down. So do you do that per chapter? Do you do it per how many hours a day you spend on it? Do you do it per words?
Yeah.
That's up to your particular so let's say it has 30 chapters. So you could put 30 post-its there.
Yeah.
But it could also be, for example, when I was co-writing the romance, part of it was every round we actually send it to beta readers. I don't know if you do that.
No, so then we do it at the end, but yeah.
Okay, so we did that. So for me, when I got it back, when we got it back, my co-writer went over the beta comments first and implemented that.
Okay.
So for me, it would have been breakdown. First, look at the beta comments, see if my co-writer has any questions for me, and then I would do the complete rewrite. Yeah. So that's already 3 different steps.
Yeah.
But then let's say you do like your 30 post-its. This is why I like it big because I have plenty of room for 30 post-its on my breakdown. But then so every day, I just put whatever I'm going to work on, I'm going to put under working. And of course, if I don't finish it that day, for example, under fiction writing, under working, I have... what does it say? Straighten out plot plus backstory scene by scene. Because that's what I'm in right now. But that's not something that I can do on a day. So it will just be there. I just make sure I work on it every day.
Yeah.
So you can basically say, let's say you want to do, you wake up tomorrow, you want to tackle 2 chapters. So you put 2 of the post-its, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you put it on the working. And then as soon as you've done with them, I would put them on the waiting until you have them all. I would put them on the waiting if you sent them back per.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that, I would just put them immediately to done. And then as soon as you have the draft finished and you're going to send it back to Amy, I would get that posted under to do that says do the next draft. And I would either put that on the waiting, depending on whether she's going to comment on you first and then you're going to make some more changes. If that is really you're done, like if let's say you're doing the second draft and you actually have some comments, but with some chapters that you first want her answer on, I would put those on the waiting. But then once you're really done, you send it all back, I would move everything to done. I'd probably like get rid of all the small post-its and just leave the post-it, the draft is done.
There. Okay. Okay. What would you do if you're not at home?
Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. And I'm thinking that, yes, it would be great for the writing business, but I'm also thinking that sometimes my day job is overwhelming the amount of work that I have to do. And this would be an absolutely brilliant way of evidencing both to myself how much I'm doing, but also if I ever needed to my boss, or when my boss is asking me to take on more stuff.
Yeah, you can show.
Yeah, I'd be able to articulate very clearly exactly how my day's broken down.
Yeah, well, lucky for you, and I can probably I'll find the article. Because one of the articles that I looked into when I was doing research for myself mentioned a few tools, online tools, and I think Trello is one that you can use as a Kanban board, because you can, like the thing that I made here.
Yeah.
So I think one of them actually has the bigger picture one on digital, and then she has a smaller Kanban board in like either on her wall or like in a like a sketchbook, like A3 sketchbook, to have a little bit of space for the post-its.
Yeah.
So basically when she's done with a particular project, she just like logs in, checks her Trello, and she's, okay, what do I want to work on now? And she grabs that and she breaks that whole thing down on paper in front of her. But there's also people who just use the online version. And I think Trello is the free one. But I can see if I can find the original article and we can link to that.
Yeah, any articles you've got, I'll put in. Yeah,
yeah. Because for me, like that, I know that doesn't work.
Yeah,
I know, because I used to use Todoist.
Yeah.
Todoist is emailing me now. Why I've sort of abandoned them, because now I have this, I haven't been using it.
Yeah.
Because now, and for me, this is, I had it in too many places. And this really allowed me to create something that shows me everything in just one glance.
But what if you're not at home? I know at the moment we sort of are all the time anyway, but if you're not at home when you get a task, or you get, would you just make a note of it, or?
Oh, I was actually wondering this morning, because I know we are officially home, but I am going, I am leaving for, I'm going to stay a few nights at my partner's this week. And we want to do that the upcoming time, because we're both really busy. But for me, it's like, she has a massive house. So for me, it's easy to just set up office there. I have a tiny house, and also she works actually in the city where she lives. And I'm very flexible. So I was actually wondering this morning, like, what do I do? Do I take a picture of it? I don't have the answer to that yet. I'm probably gonna, one of the things I was thinking about is take my paper planner and put the post-its in them.
What, transfer them all?
Yeah, transfer the things that I know I need to be working
okay,
on.
Okay, just that section.
Because I know when I'll be coming back as well.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, all the stuff that I know I need to do, let's just put them actually, instead of writing them, usually I look at the board and I write them in my planner. And now I was thinking, it's also easy because I have like one big project that I need to be working on and the rest is like details.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful. But yeah, I have been wondering about that. But I think for me, it will be taking pictures and putting them in my paper planner and move them. And then as soon as I'm home, just sort of recalibrate.
I suppose you could write a list as well. You know, if you get emails that you need to go on, then you could.
I tend to just do emails. I read them and then I sort of like save them as I haven't opened them yet. To make sure that I get back to it.
Okay. That's a good way of doing it as well. Good top tip.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise I get completely lost. I do forget. Like, I sometimes forget that I'm no longer 20 and remember everything. I do miss those days. But we have solutions to that problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm curious to see what happens, like, especially like, what if I take like an actual break? Or for example, what if we can fly again and I know that the next time I'm visiting the Netherlands is not going to be for a week. Like, I'll probably go for a month or so just to, mother, if you're listening, don't hold this against me if it doesn't work out. But I do want to go for a slightly longer because I haven't been there in almost a year. So yeah. I don't know. That will have to be continued.
I suppose by that time you'll have it well established. So it'll kind of be automatic using it.
Yes, and maybe I will do what I've seen other people do is actually write it down like in like a sketchbook or something.
Yeah.
And of course I could, if I take a picture of it, right, and I take with me the important post-its.
Yeah.
I could, of course, like in my, if I go to the Netherlands, I'll be staying in my old bedroom. I could just put it on the wall there.
You're
or
going
like,
to recreate it.
Oh, just like, but just for the time I'm there, I could just like grab a few A4 papers and just stick them to the wall. So not create the whole thing. I wouldn't create the whole long-term goal things, of course. I only need to recreate the bits that I'm actually, the actual Kanban part of the board. Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, you've certainly inspired me.
Well, I mean, I do think, so what I love most about this is I think that people who need to kick themselves in the arse a bit, right?
Yeah.
They will benefit from this because like if you do tend to get overwhelmed, you see exactly what you need to be doing. And you're the one who decides what to break it down to. Like, you don't have to have a post-it for every 100 words you write. Maybe it works better for you if you just write the first arc. So it depends on what you need.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, I don't have to worry in the morning or at night, what do I need to work on? Because I just look at the board and there's deadlines for the post-its. So I just like, oh, guess I'll be working on that tomorrow.
Yeah, I like
that. So that saves me. Yeah, it saves me a lot of like, do I feel like working on that? Oh, it has to be done. So that helps me a lot. But it also, for me, it helps to not take on too much because I see, yeah, this is not reasonable. So I'm going to say no to this project. So for example, the first thing I did after working on this was I had a publication schedule for my next series of tarot books. And just looking at this and all the other things that I had in the year coming, I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So instead of publishing every 5 weeks, I changed it to publishing every 8 weeks. And suddenly I could breathe again.
That would work for me as well, because I have a tendency to do that, to think that I'm going to be able to achieve what I can't, what is impossible.
Yeah, and that's admirable, you know, to just go for it. But it's not if you actually beat yourself up over it or it makes that you cannot breathe anymore.
So this is new to you.
Yes.
How long do you think you would need before we revisit this? Not necessarily for a full episode, but to talk about things you've learnt from it.
Well, let's do a few months. See what I really like. For like, I will see what parts I'm not actually using.
Yeah. So would you say 3 months?
Yeah, maybe. I think because, you know, like to establish a really good habit, like people say you can establish a habit in like 20 days, right? But those are the small habits.
Yeah.
To establish a really good habit, you need about 3 months, 100 days.
Okay. So spring. So yes. In spring, we'll revisit what you've learned or how you've changed it.
Yes, and maybe in the meantime, you will have started the Trello digital version.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have a look at that.
I will look up all the articles and make sure we can add the links to the show notes.
Lovely. Okay. Shall we end there?
Yes. From one alpha planner to a soon-to-be alpha planner.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.